Welcome to the Every Nation Hong Kong podcast. Every Nation is a church that exists to honor God and make disciples. We pray that this message blesses you. Now, here's your message.
Good morning. Good to see you all, and really wonderful to have, you know, the global updates that we watched in the video, and just now a local update from Khaki. Really appreciate just what God is doing through our churches and even in Ling Nam, and wonderful what God is really doing. But today, I hope, actually before I talk about today, I hope you've been reading the Bible app, right? The Lent Bible devotion on Luke and also on Acts. It's been wonderful just, you know, just reading it and just reminding ourselves, wow, the power of what Jesus did, the miracles that he did, and also, of course, the early church as well. But today we have a very special someone. We have a special friend, a special pastor to be with us. Many of you know Pastor Gilbert Foriente already, but just in case you do not know him, he is not the brother of Mark. He's a Kuya, yeah. So, but he is, in fact, the chief executive officer of Every Nation in the Philippines. That means overseeing all the Victory churches. You know, many of you know, many of you are from Victory Church in the Philippines, not just in the multiple locations in Metro Manila, but also in 80 locations in the provinces as well. But also as the CEO, he also oversees the Philippines, the missions, and also the Real Life Foundations, and also EN Campus Philippines. So he is a man with many, many things on many hats. But at the same time, something that Pastor Gilbert and I are similar, not in terms of age, but also, but in terms that we are both actually students. So right now, at this time, Pastor Gilbert is studying for a Master of Arts in Intercultural Studies with the emphasis on church planting from Asbury Theological Seminary. About to graduate in the name of Jesus. Maybe I should graduate first. We'll see. We'll have a race. Anyway, so, you know, but Pastor Gilbert to us, especially to Francis and to Cheryl, many of you may know this already. Pastor Gilbert was their pastor when they were in Los Baños. And Pastor Gilbert himself was a pastor in U-Belt for 11 years. And, you know, he is really a great man of faith, man of God. And I've learned a lot from him throughout the years. I think I first met him back a few years ago. Yes. And but really, I'm looking forward to learning from him this week and especially today. So let's a very warm Every Nation welcome to Pastor Gilbert.
Thank you, Uncle Sam. Morning, everyone. It's always a joy to be here with you in our Every Nation Hong Kong family. Thank you for that generous introduction, Uncle Sam. Again, I just want to honor Sam and Esther. How many of you appreciate Pastor Sam? Many years we've known each other. Many years. And I've seen Sam pastor this church for a number of years, and I really just want to commend and honor him for the faithfulness that he has in serving this city, serving this nation, and serving the people of this city for many years. If there's one thing that God expects of his people, if there's one thing that God expects for each one of us, it's not a lot. It's not that God wants and expects us to do great things for him, because he's already a great God. Amen. The only thing he expects from us is faithfulness. And Pastor Sam and Esther had been the picture of faithfulness. And at the end of our lives, Jesus will judge us for our faithfulness. If you look at the parable of the talents, well done, good and faithful servant. They are faithful servants of God and faithful servants of the people of God. The tenacity to plow through whatever it is that's facing them is really, really admirable and honorable. And again, Pastor Sam, Esther, thank you so much for all that you do to serve the city and the people of the city. Again, can we give a round of applause to Pastor Sam and Esther. Okay, we have, you probably have been in social media, you have a social media account, and a lot of times you're going to see expectation versus reality. How many of you have ever seen pictures like that? This is the expectation, this is the reality. Okay, for example, you're very hungry. How many of you have ever been very hungry before? And you get into a restaurant and you see all the pictures and you order ramen and your expectation was you're going to have a real good eat of a very delicious ramen that would be served to you. And then you order, that was your expectation, and the order comes and here's the reality. You see the reality and it's, is it there? The reality is you get, that's your reality. So you were expecting this, and the reality was a little bit short than what you expect it to be, isn't it? Or maybe you are expecting to have a vacation. How many of you want a vacation? Of course, if you're from Hong Kong, you always need a vacation. You want a vacation, and you're thinking you're going to go to a pristine beach, and you're going to have a relaxing time, and it's so nice, and nobody's there except you and God. And then the reality is you get to that beach and it looks like this. There. And you never get to relax. And you thought, wow, this is not good at all. Or maybe, how many of you sometimes you get a haircut or you go and you have a certain expectation of what you look like. And so you, let's do this. And you shave your hair and you expect to look like this. I expect to look like this, and you thought, okay, I'm going to shave my hair. And then in reality, after shaving your hair, you start to look like this. So that was my, that's not true to life, okay? that's not my experience. But there are certain things that you have an expectation of, and sometimes we tend to get discouraged, we tend to get disillusioned because the reality doesn't line up with our expectations. And a lot of people around the world, when it comes to Jesus, Christianity, or the church, sometimes have that experience. They expect Jesus to be like this. And then some Christians introduces a Jesus that's very different from the Jesus that they expect. And the reality doesn't line up. And so they get disillusioned. Or maybe some of you, especially if you live in a post-Christian world, post-Christian society or community, and you expect something about Christianity to be like this, and then your reality of your experience with Christianity is totally different. And you get a little bit disillusioned and misplaced, and you think, this is not what I expect Christianity to be. Or maybe you have an expectation of church, and you think the church should be this. And then you get to a certain church and you thought, well, expectation, reality, there's a gap here. And sometimes we use that to say, well, let me just turn my back on Jesus or Christianity or the church. And a lot of people have that kind of experience. Now, the question is this. Could it be that whenever that thing happens, when people turn their backs on Jesus or Christianity or the church, that the real issue is not the reality that they face? Could it be that the issue is the wrong expectations that they've had? And so the reality that they experience is really what the reality is, but because they've had the wrong expectation, they feel like they got the short end of the deal when it comes to Jesus, Christianity, or the church. That's why I love this series that we have here, Pastor Sam Hong, because this is a series where we take a snapshot of the life and ministry of Jesus so that we'll be able to see the reality of who Jesus is and what he has come to offer for us so that we don't have any wrong expectations. I hope that after this series, our prayer is that the reality that we are expecting would be closer to the reality of what the Bible gives us a picture of when it comes to Jesus, Christianity, or the church. So that's kind of been happening. This is the third week. This is the third week. So I hope you're getting a clearer picture of who Jesus is and what he has come to accomplish while he was here on earth and what he has come to accomplish even today. So let me read to you Luke chapter 4, verse 42 to 44. This is the text that we have for this third week of our series. And then that's the tail end of the chapter. And then we're going to bleed into the next chapter, chapter 5, in verses 1 to 11. A rather long verse, so please bear with me as I read it. It's here in the PowerPoint. Verse 42. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. I'm reading from the ESV. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Let's move to chapter 5, verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Can we just pray, bow our heads, close our eyes? Lord, I pray that you'd open our spiritual eyes. For we acknowledge that we will never fully understand your word unless you reveal it to us. So Holy Spirit, we're asking that you would enlighten us, that you would reveal the Father to us, that you would reveal Jesus to us through the preaching of the word. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, Amen. Okay, let me give you an overview of the sermon for this text. It's a rather long text, so it will be helpful to get an overview. We're going to talk about three parts: Jesus' mission, and then Jesus' invitation, and then Jesus' proposition. This is interesting. At the end of chapter 4 in verse 42, it says, when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place, and people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. Here's what happened. Jesus was just going from town to town, and he was having revival meetings, crowd after crowd after crowd. People started following him. People were following him on his Instagram account. They were liking it, tweeting it, retweeting it, reposting it. I mean, he's the man of the hour during this time. And if you think about this, the Bible says he departed. Another translation says he left the crowd. Isn't this interesting? A preacher leaving the crowd. If I were the preacher, I would have IG'd storied it. Like, oh, look at the crowd. I would have tweeted it and retweeted it and posted it. Oh, look, there's revival here. Something's great is happening. And I'm going to put it in YouTube. And I'm going to have a ministry, Gilbert Foliente Ministries. I'm glad I never draw a crowd because that's bad for me. But this is, Jesus was very different from many preachers today. He's got a crowd and he just left the crowd. Why is this? Because the Bible says this. He said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. Because Jesus' mission was much bigger than just gathering a crowd. Jesus' mission was much bigger than just having large numbers of people follow him. Jesus' mission was way bigger. I'm afraid that a lot of pastors and churches and Christians today celebrate the wrong things. Oh, how many do you have in your church? Oh, how's the attendance? Oh, how many? It's all about numbers. It's all about crowds. Jesus did not care about numbers. He cared for the mission that God sent, his Father sent him to. And Jesus' mission was much bigger than just drawing a crowd. Jesus' mission was way bigger than our own personal answer to our prayers. A lot of Christians today, how many of you pray to Jesus? How many of you pray to Jesus? How many of you are asking Jesus about something now? There are certain things that you're asking Jesus for. And a lot of Christians, sometimes you ask Jesus for something, and when Jesus answers, wow, praise God, hashtag great faith, hashtag blessed. Oh, wow, hashtag blessed, hashtag blessed, hashtag. And then Jesus doesn't seem like he's answering your prayer. No tweets, no posts. And before you know it, you feel bad. And you get discouraged. And you get disillusioned. Why is Jesus not answering my prayer? I go to church. I serve. I do this. Pastor Sam tells me, jump, I jump. Whatever it is, roll, fetch. I do whatever pastor says. Why is it that Jesus is not doing this for me? Because sometimes we think Jesus' mission is to answer our prayers. Sometimes we think Jesus' mission is to be able to become a vending machine for us. We want this, Lord. We need this. Sometimes you think Jesus' mission is to be a glorified assistant. Lord, do this. Get this for me. Do that for me. Go here for me, Lord. Get me that promotion. Lord, get me that provision. Lord, get me that blessing. Get me that favor. Lord, get me that girl. Ooh, get me that boy, Lord. I want to have a serious relationship that's far from the shallow now. I don't want shallow. I want a deep relationship with a Christian boy. Why you're not getting that, Lord? Or maybe we're praying for open doors for our ministry. How many of you have ever prayed for open doors here in Hong Kong? Years. And we're saying, Lord, why are you not doing it? Newsflash, Jesus' mission is not to be your glorified assistant. It's way much bigger than that. And Jesus' mission was not just limited to our own personal salvation as well. Jesus said, my mission is to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. His mission was even bigger than the church itself. The church that we have in every nation, Hong Kong, is a great church, praise God. But his mission is way bigger than just having a church. Jesus' mission is the kingdom of God. Jesus' mission was to usher in this kingdom in which he created the world to be a perfect kingdom. And because of sin and because of our rebellion as mankind, the kingdom of the world has subverted the kingdom of God for so many years now. And Jesus came and says, I'm going to come and I'm going to bring back the kingdom of God. It's almost like if you've watched the Transformers, the last night Planet Cybertron was trying to take over planet Earth. That's the kingdom of God coming in. It's going to take over the kingdom of the world. If you look at Jesus' ministry, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he preached about the kingdom of God. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 to 10, he prayed the kingdom of God. And if you look at the very end of the story, how many of you like reading books? I'd rather watch movies than read books. But now I'm reading a lot of books. But sometimes when I want to read a book and I don't want to read a big one, I go to the end. How many of you do that? Let's go to the end. What's the end? If you want to know the end of this whole human history, go Revelations. And here was the end game of Jesus. If you look at Revelations 11 verse 15. Here is the end game of Jesus. It's the establishment of the kingdom of God. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever. The very reason why Jesus came is to restore the kingdom of God to its glorious state, to the original intent of the whole creation before Adam took that fruit or Eve took the fruit and then gave it to Adam. And because of that, this whole world became fallen. Sin came in. Tears came in. Pain and mourning came in. Death came in. And all of us have experienced that. Brokenness came in. And all of us are still experiencing it up to now that we're already Christians. People sometimes ask me, Pastor, why would God allow suffering? We live in a broken and a fallen world. But guess what? The good news is this fallen and broken world will not be fallen and broken forever. Because one day there's going to be a glorious kingdom. One day there's going to be a time where tears will be wiped away. Where mourning will be gone. It's all just full of joy. Where pain will be no more. And death will be no more. And sickness will be done away with. There's going to be a time where you and the presence of God will be with you for the rest of your life 24/7. There's gonna be a time that injustice will be done away with. There'll be a time that temptation will never be a part of our lives. That is the good news of the kingdom of God. And so many discouraging bad news that we hear today. How many of you sometimes are sick and tired of bad news that you hear every day? The good news is there is a kingdom that is about to take place and take away that bad news, and a perfect kingdom will be our kingdom. That's the place you and I will live in. A place with no tears, no pain, no sin, no temptation, no injustice, no victims. It's a perfect place. That was Jesus' mission. How many of you are glad Jesus came? That's the kind of earth, that's the kind of kingdom, that's the kind of nation that's awaiting you and I. Then, after saying that, Luke said, this is the mission of Jesus. Then he got into the lake. In verse 3, this is interesting. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. Here's the scene. Okay, it's almost like a movie. Jesus said, this is my mission. And the next scene, fishermen, Simon and his friends. The Bible says they toiled all night and took nothing. In other words, they were discouraged. They were washing their nets. They were about to go home. Like, wow, we've worked hard and we have nothing to show for it. They were discouraged. That's the next scene. Then Jesus showed up with a large crowd. How many of you sometimes when you're discouraged, you want to be alone? You want to have self-pity with you and yourself and this is really bad. And Jesus came with a large crowd. They're taking up their personal space. Like, gosh, who's this Jesus with this large crowd? And then not only did Jesus take up his personal space of self-pity, Jesus took his boat. Not only did Jesus take his boat, he instructed him to push his own boat that Jesus took. And then Jesus used it to teach. Now, let's put some humanity in the story, shall we? Let's put ourselves in the shoes of Peter. If that were you, how would you have responded? Think about this. You were discouraged. You're about to go home. A large crowd came. Jesus came. And here's what happened. He took your boat without asking your permission. Never was it said, Peter, is it okay? We haven't been introduced. Can I use this, please? No asking for it. He just took it, sat on it. How would you have responded? How many of you have ever offered food to someone? You've offered? And then when you offered, they got everything? I just tell you. I mean, the boat, he just took the boat. And then think about that. How would you feel? He took your boat without asking permission. Second, there were two boats. He took your boat, not the other boat. You about to have said, why my boat? Why not? His boat is better. Why my boat? And then third, he asked you to push your boat, which he took without permission. Think about it. What would you have done? I was reading this and I thought, Jesus acted as if he owned the boat. Well, actually, he kind of does, doesn't he? Because Jesus is Lord. He can take away anything, anytime, because he owns everything, including our very own lives. And sometimes when Jesus takes away something from a Christian, how do we respond usually? Lord, you did not give me a warning. Would have been great to give me a sign in the clouds when I looked up, I'm going to take away your job. You're going to be fired. Give me a sign, Lord. Text me, tweet me, IG me. Why are you not giving me a warning? You're going to take something away from me. You did not ask my permission, Lord. Or how many of you, when Jesus takes away something from you, you start saying, why not him, Lord? He's got a stronger faith. Why not Pastor? Pastor has a strong... Why me, Lord? Why are these non-Christians flourishing and being successful? And here I am, a Christian, and you're taking this away. Why not take them away? I gotta take something away from them, Lord. Or sometimes you say, Lord, why do you do this? Well, guess why he does it? By taking Peter's boat, Jesus was implying his ownership. By taking Peter's boat, Jesus was implying that he owns not just the boat, but Peter's life. And Peter realized it. And so he called him. You know what? He called him Master. Let me talk to you what master literally means in the original Greek word that Peter used. It's a legal standing of ownership. To say master literally means the owner of all things. Peter got it. Jesus is inviting me to surrender all. He owns my boat. He doesn't just own my boat. He owns everything. And there is an invitation. Follow me and surrender everything to me. That's Jesus. He's on a mission to bring in the kingdom, but in this mission, he's inviting people to surrender their lives to him because he owns everything. He's the owner of your boats. So the question is this, what is your boat? What is your boat that's become the source of your income, the source of your security, the source of your pleasure, the source of your comfort, maybe the very own source of your life, and you're holding it dearly and you're saying, Lord, take away everything, not my boat. Take away their boat, not this boat, Lord. Jesus is inviting you to follow him by surrendering your boats to him. And you know, the good news is this. Whenever God takes something, he usually replaces it with something more amazing. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. He took Peter's boat without catch, without fish, and he was discouraged. He surrendered the boat, and what happened? He brought back the boat with a boat sinking, net breaking catch of financial provision. Amen. You surrender to him, he gives the rest back to you more than 100-fold. You remember the boy? She mentioned that boy. The boy, I remember the boy. The boy did not give. Here's the thing. Jesus said to one of his disciples, he said, I want you to feed these 5,000 hungry men. How many of you have ever been with a hungry man before? Scary. That's 5,000 hungry men without the hungry women. I can't even imagine the hungry women. More scary sometimes. But anyway. Hungry women, 5,000. And he said, feed the 5,000 men and women. There's nothing there. There's no. And then Philip, here's the story. Philip, there's a boy. The boy never volunteered. He just said, oh, you have food. Come here. The boy said, why me? And Jesus did not ask permission from the boy. He just took the loaves. If I were the boy, I'm not the only one with food. There's a lot with food. And when you took it all. You took the 5 loaves. Get me some loaf for me. He took it all. But here's the thing. Took something. When he gave it back, 12 basketfuls more of food. Every time Jesus takes away, he usually replaces it with something more amazing. Jesus took the donkey. I don't know what happened to the donkey. Oh, I know he became a movie star and started talking and became a co-star with Shrek. Anyway, the donkey. Every time Jesus takes something, he's inviting anyone. Peter said, I'm a sinner. It doesn't matter if you're a sinner. It doesn't matter if you're the worst of sinners. It doesn't matter if you're so far away from God and so unclean and so dirty. He's inviting you into this relationship with him, that if you surrender to him, he will do something great with your life. That's the amazing invitation. Now, following Jesus as Lord entails following his word. You can never follow Jesus as Lord without following his word. So Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Here was Jesus, a carpenter, giving fishing tips to a fisherman. It's almost like a comms major giving tutorials to a math major. Like, doesn't make sense. So this was Peter thinking, what you're saying doesn't make sense. Go out into the... He could have said, Peter, stick to Lord Jesus, your master, but stick to carpentry. And it comes to this, I know this. But here's what he said. But because you say so, NIV. But because you say so. See, when we respond to his invitation to follow him, his word becomes the final authority. His word becomes the final authority of what we believe and how we live our lives. It's not a book. It's not a popular opinion. It's not an expert opinion. It's not a blog, an article. It's not what our friends say, our family says. It's not even what the preacher says. If the preacher here in Every Nation Hong Kong starts telling you to do something that's not according to God's word, stop following that preacher. You follow the word of God. That's what it means to follow Jesus as Lord. There was one denomination recently who had a vote. All their pastors and lay leaders were voting. Are we going to allow gay clergy, gay preachers and pastors in our denomination? I was thinking to myself, why is that even a debate? Because God's word is pretty clear. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to follow him, then you have to follow his word. That's the invitation. And last part, Jesus' proposition. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything, a lucrative business, and followed him. The word catching literally means an ongoing, continuous action to catch alive and not to kill. I mean, here was Jesus. Amazing. The Bible is very amazing. With the words it uses, it gives contrasts. So here you were when you were a businessman, a fisherman, you were catching live fish to kill. He said, not anymore. Now you're going to catch dead men and make them alive. That's the problem. How many of you want to be in Jesus' business? You and I are being invited by Jesus to catch dead men and women and make them alive. This was Jesus' mission, and he was telling them. You see, following Jesus is not the end. When we follow him, he invites us to join him in his mission. We are not just saved from something, we are saved for something. We are not just saved from damnation, we are now saved for mission, Jesus' mission. You and I are saved for a mission. He's inviting you to join him in his mission. And how do we do this? If Jesus' mission, when he came here, was to preach the goodness of a kingdom, what do we preach about? We preach Jesus. What's the difference? Why was he preaching good news of the kingdom, and why are we preaching Jesus? Leslie Newbegin, one of the most prolific Christian authors and theologians, said this, and I love this. He said, what is new is that in Jesus, the kingdom is present. That is why the first generation of Christian preachers use a different language from the language of Jesus. Jesus spoke about the kingdom, they spoke about Jesus. For the kingdom of God was no longer a distant hope. It is no longer a faceless concept. It now had a name and a face, the name and the face of the man from Nazareth. In the New Testament, we're dealing not just with the proclamation of the kingdom, but also with the presence of the kingdom. With Jesus, the kingdom of God is not a distant hope that we're waiting for. We can experience the kingdom of God right now in Jesus. So that even if you experience tragedy, the mourning will never remain the same. There's going to be joy. So that even if you experience temptation, there's going to be victory over sin. Because Jesus now is the presence of the kingdom in our lives. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to wait for many, many thousands of years to enjoy the kingdom. We can enjoy the kingdom now with Jesus with us and Jesus in us. And we can share Him to everybody around us. Will you say yes to Jesus' proposition? Amen. Let me end with this and call the music team. I want to end, as I was preparing this, I just really feel like God wanted me to share this. In Jeremiah 29, if you're familiar with the story of the Israelites, the nation of Israel rebelled against God. God rescues them. God gives them a hero. God gives them a great leader. It's just a cycle, and then they rebel and they sin, and God rescues them. A cycle and a cycle. Finally, God said, if you keep doing this, judgment is going to come upon you and you're going to be in exile. So finally, in 586 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar, the ruthless pagan king of the Babylonians, came in. One of the most violent times in the history of the world, where he killed the Israelites, babies and pregnant women, and took them into exile. Imagine if you're part of the Israelites, you would hate Nebuchadnezzar. You would hate it in Babylon because you were forcibly taken there. Probably thinking, I can't wait to get back to wherever I was from. But in Jeremiah 29, how many of you are familiar with verse 11? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Before he gave that promise, you know what God said? I took you into exile. And that's a head-scratching moment. Like, Lord, King Nebuchadnezzar, this pagan, violent king, took me here. But God is telling, no, I took you there. Lord, this is hard. This is tough. I know. I took you in this city. I brought you here. And whatever Babylon you're facing today, know that there's a providential hand of God for bringing you there. And yet there's a promise. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. And maybe some of you have many different reasons why you're in this city in Hong Kong. And maybe you say, my job took me here. Or maybe my family took me here. Or this took me here. Or a situation at home took me here. I want you to know that no matter what the reason, ultimately God brought you here in Hong Kong for a reason. He is in a mission here in Hong Kong. And He brought you here so that He could invite you to join Him in His mission. So let's love this city. Let's take this city as our own. Jeremiah 29, Babylon was not their home yet. He said, I want you to bless the city. I want you to love the city. I want you to own the city because I brought you here. So I just feel like the word of the Lord for you, some of you need to hear this. God brought you here. We will love the city. We'll own the city. We will bless the city because God brought us here. Amen. Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes? I want to pray. Lord, thank you for your providential hand in bringing us into this city. Lord, we hold on to your promise, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. But Lord, that plan, that promise came with a perspective that you brought us here. As all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, maybe you're here, two groups of people that I want to pray for. Maybe you have not said yes to Jesus' invitation to surrender everything to Him yet, to follow Him as Lord, Master, and owner of everything. Maybe you've been going to church, maybe you've been going to a small group, but never yet surrendered everything to Jesus as Lord. And say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Can you allow me to pray for you as all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed? If that's you, if you're saying, Pastor, I want to follow Him and I want to surrender everything to Him. If that's you, I want to pray a short prayer. Can you lift up your hand? Yes. Anyone else? Thank you. Yes. Yes, thank you. Many hands are raised. Yes. If you're raising up your hand, yes, keep your hands raised. Let's pray this simple prayer with me. Just say, Jesus, thank you for inviting me. You invite the worst of sinners, and you invited me. Thank you. Lord, as I lift my hand, I say yes. Lord, I'm asking for your forgiveness. Forgive me from all my sins. Lord, I'm sorry for the many things I've done that have hurt you. Lord, today I say yes to your invitation. You will be my master and my Lord, and I would surrender everything to you. Lord, from this day on, I'm deciding I'll follow you. So help me, God, for the rest of my life. Lord, I pray for everyone who prayed this prayer. I pray that you'd give them the grace to follow you for the rest of their lives and give them friends who would help them follow you continually in the name of Jesus. Can we just stand, everyone, and let's all lift our hands to God as we worship. Can we all lift our hands to God? I'm going to pray that God will give us a sense of mission. Let's all lift up our hands to God. Lord, I pray that you'd give us that sense of mission. Lord, you have a proposition. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a sense of mission, each one of us, whether we're new in this church or old in this church. Lord, for those of us who've been here for a long time, discouragement has set in. Lord, I pray for a fresh sense of mission. Lord, you are on a mission in this city. You've never given up on this city. You will never give up on this city. You have a great plan for this city. Lord, I pray for a fresh love for this city, Lord. I pray for a fresh vision. I pray for a fresh mission, Lord. I pray that we would know exactly what you're doing. Lord, whether it's helping athletes like that, or speaking, or whatever it is that we can contribute to your mission. Lord, we're here. Use us. Use our talents. Use our lives. Use everything we are and everything we have for your mission. Lord, we're asking that your kingdom come in Hong Kong, that your kingdom come in our workplaces, in our campuses, that your kingdom come in our neighborhoods as it is in heaven. Through the preaching of the gospel, Lord, here I am. Just say, quietly pray that prayer, Lord, here am I. Use me to preach Jesus and bring the presence of the kingdom wherever I am. In Jesus' name, amen.
Or find us on Facebook.